Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Pei Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 19 lines from the top, approximately a third of the way down the page from the top. Before we begin the actual shiur, we glance in the margin where we have our no say, a topic heading, which reads, Lemi Mishalmim, unto whom is payment made, b'mikre shel keteya yad eved ivri shel chavero. If someone cuts off the arm of an eved ivri, a Jewish servant working for someone else. The Gemara. Itmar, in the middle of the line, Itmar, HaKoteya Yad Eved Ivri Shel Chavero, one who literally cuts off the arm of the Eved Ivri owned by his friend. This is a type of injury that will not recover, will not return to its original state. Abai Omar, Nosein Loi Sheves Gedoy Lo Eved V'Sheves Ktano L'Rav. Now, these expressions, Sheves Gedola and Sheves Ktana, we saw in our previous shiur. Sheves Gedola is a reference to the Nezik payment, the depreciation. That depreciation value is paid to the Eved. The Eved, don't forget, in this case, is a full-fledged Jew. The Sheves Ktana is the unemployment payment. That will go to the master. Rova Omar Hakul Yinosein Le'eved. All the payments go to the servant. V'lokach bohen karka, and the money will be used to purchase a parcel of land. V'harav oichel peros, and the master will benefit from the fruits. We're not here to get involved with all of the laws of Eved Ivri, but bear in mind Eved Ivri is essentially a type of worker that will work for a period of 6 years, and he then returns to his original status, his free family status. There are situations where he would continue working till the Yovel year, but not to confuse the Eved Ivri with an Eved Kanani, a heathen slave, which is considered property of the owner. I do feel that it's important just to note that there is another girsa in the Gemara, in the Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Rava, under Rava's opinion, we read Hakol Ninosin Leved. There's an alternative reading that says Hakol LaRav. But we're going to move on in the Gemara, keeping the girsa as it is. We continue Pshita. The following point, we call this Aleph. In the next couple lines you'll see then a Beis, but point Aleph is clear, Piches Eitzel Atzmo V'Eitzel Rabo Lo Piches, a type of injury whereby the worker sustains, we'll say, depreciation, but he is able to continue working. Hechi Dami, what would be an example of that? That the injury doesn't interfere with his ability to continue working. The Paske L'Reish Une, the offender cut off victim's ear. Oi L'Reish Nechire, or the tip of his nose. Then Hakur Latzma, all payment will go to the Eved, to the Eved Ivri. Piches Eitzel Rabo, if it's a type of injury that results in loss of work, cutting off of arm or leg. How is payment to be made? Pluta d'Abaye v'Rava. That was the machlokes we saw just before between Abaye and Rava. And now we start a new topic. On the side, we have a nosei klali, a general topic heading, with, where we indicate this goes to daf pei zayin amud aleph. So that, for all practical purposes, the balance of today's shiur will continue till that point on pei zayin amud aleph, where we deal with the topic of embarrassment, boishes. Under the immediate topic heading, nosei, Moni Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah Shekatani, Boishes Hakolu Fi HaMevayesh VaHamizbayesh. The Boishes payment is not a fixed rate, but it all depends on who the offender is and who the victim is. The amount that would be paid is dependent on these two factors. So who looks at Boishes in that fashion? We also have a structural note. We're going to be using a house shape in order to follow the give and take of the Gemara. We call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the flow of give and take. With the house shape point facing upwards, laharois demasnisin rak aliba de Rabbi Shimon, velo k'Rabbi Yehuda, velo k'Rabbi Meir. This will be an attempt to show that the Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Shimon. These are names that we haven't seen yet, but we'll see a Tanaic source quoted in the Gemara dealing with Boishes. Who does our Mishnah follow? And the Gemara will make the point that it follows only Rabbi Shimon. There'll be an inverted house. The first point, we call this a long point. You'll see that the next house that you see will be in the second to last narrow line, an inverted house. Nisayon lomar afilu temo Rabbi Yehuda. There will be an attempt to say that our Mishnah can be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara will reject that. Now the Gemara. Moni masnisin. Our Mishnah that said hakol lefi hamevayesh v'hamispayesh, everything is in accordance with the who is the one causing the embarrassment and who is the victim. So Moni Masnisin, lo Rabbi Meir v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't conform to the opinions of Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda. Elo Rabbi Shimon, but yes, according to Rabbi Shimon, elo Rabbi Shimon he. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. In this source you might notice some underlining. Those are the names we've highlighted. It says as follows, V'chulan, kulan means whether they're poor or wealthy. Royan oison ki'ilu heim b'nei chorin sh'yordu minichseim. We look at the victims of embarrassment as free people that lost their property. In other words, there's a egalitarian approach. You look at everyone the same, as if they are free people that are now propertyless. Shehein b'nei Avram Yitzchok v'Yaakov, divrei Rabbi Meir. They are the descendants of our patriarchs, Jews that lost their property. That's how you will look at all victims of embarrassment and how much is their embarrassment worth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, agodol l'fi godlo, v'koton l'fi kotno. The terms Godol and Koton will be discussed, but for our purposes, since this analysis will not appear till the next section of Gemara, we're going to just be left to translating it. Godol, the great one, the important one according to his greatness, and the small one according to his smallness. I think we have to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, all godol people, great people or significant people are grouped together, and the all small people or insignificant people are grouped together. So our Mishnah is not going to We'll see momentarily how our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand says, Ashirim, when it comes to wealthy people, Royin Oison Kiilu Hein B'nei Churin Shiyordu Minechseihem. We view them as free people that lost their property. Now here, Tosfos offers a critically important explanation, and we read it together across from here. Kilu hein b'nei chayrin shiyordu minichsem, ki yesh ashirim, there are wealthy people, she'ein misbaishin yoyser mi b'nei chayrin shiyordu. Though they're wealthy, their embarrassment is no greater than people who are commoners that lost their property. V'chein aniyim, and likewise with poor. V'ein yichulin ledaktek aleihem kol kach, eza mehen misbayesh kilu yorad, v'ezo misbayesh yoyser u'pochos. And it's difficult to be precise who experiences more embarrassment, who experiences less embarrassment. Now we go back to the text of the Gemara, and Rabbi Shimon continues by saying, aniyim, when we evaluate the embarrassment of the poor, kipusin shebahem, as in accordance with the embarrassment level of the least of them. The Rashi says, Elo Rabbi Shimon hi, Rashi says, the ihu nami lav ki hadodi mashvi lehu. According to Rabbi Shimon, all of them are not grouped together. Hashta money. Our Mishnah is then in accordance with whom? E. Rebbe Meir, if you were to think Rebbe Meir, the diamonds that you see here are explained on this side as Nisyonis Levara Miatana, attempts to explain who is the Tana. So we continue. If it's Rebbe Meir, the Masnisin Katani, Hakur Lufi HaMevayesh VaMizbayesh, our Mishnah said everything is in, all evaluation is in accordance with the one causing the embarrassment and the victim of the embarrassment. Rabbi Meir, Kulu Bahadi Hadodi Ninu. And Rabbi Meir groups all people together. V'i Rabbi Huda. Now, when we read the text of the Braisa, there was room to think that maybe our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Huda when you look at the laws of embarrassment. However, the Mishnah is not just in terms of that particular line. There is an entire Mishnah that we have read, and there's also a continuation of the Mishnah that constitutes one Mishnah, we call the Reisha and the Seifa. So when you look at our Mishnah in its entirety, there is information in the Mishnah that shows that it cannot be in accordance with Rabbi Huda. So that even though the line we read above in the Braisa, I would say, is not clear cut as to establishing that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda, but when you look at the entirety of our Mishnah, you will see how our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda. Now, how is that? Masnisin Kotoni, in our Mishnah, it said, Hamavayish is Asuma Chayav, one who embarrasses the blind man. Now, where did you see that? Well, you didn't see it yet, but it's at the beginning of Omid Beis. There's a Mishnah which is a continuation of our Mishnah. It's found there. And it teaches that one who embarrasses a blind man is guilty. Ve'ilu, whereas the following Tanaic source appears on Omid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Suma Ein Lo Boishes. The Suma has no Boishes. There's no Boishes payment. Now the thinking at this moment, that's going to change though. The thinking at this moment is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, someone who embarrasses the Suma, the blind man, is exempt. So our Mishnah, taking into consideration the top of Omid Beis, where there's the continuation of our Mishnah, doesn't seem that it can be in agreement with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda regarding the blind. Elolav, Rabbi Shimon hi. So we'll have to say then that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, where we saw, right, Rabbi Shimon, he does not group together the Aniyim and the Ashirim. So we ruled out Rabbi Meir because he groups everyone together. We rule out Rabbi Yehuda because of our Mishnah's stance with regard to the embarrassment of the blind. We're left then with Rabbi Shimon, who does not group all people together, and that's in the spirit of our Mishnah that said, Lefi ha-mevayish va-mizvayish. The Gemara attempts to say afilu teimo Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could be in line with Rabbi Yehuda. Ki yomer Rabbi Yehuda sumo ein lo boishes. The statement of a blind man has no boshes, that's lemishkal minei. That's with regard to a suma who is mivayesh, a suma who is on the offensive, so we won't charge him for his having caused embarrassment. Avol, lemesva lei, yavino lei. However, if the suma has been the victim of embarrassment, yes, you will have to pay him, like the Mishnah says in the Sefer, the Hamavayish is a Suma Chayav, so that it would that Rabbi Yehuda would make a distinction within the realm of the Suma. And the result of now I'm repeating this. It's important to have this point clear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he makes a distinction and holds that Mavayish is a Suma is Chayav. And his comment of Suma Ein Lo Boshes, that would mean that the Suma who causes embarrassment would not be charged. The Gemara, though, rejects this. If we are maintaining that Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction within the category of Suma, you'll find that our Mishnah, however, does not. V'ha midekatoni seifa. Once again, in the continuation of the Mishnah on Omid Beis, it says as follows: Hamevayesh is hayoshein chayav, v'yoshein shebiyesh poter. Now that statement, if you look on Omid Beis, you'll see is coming immediately after the point of Hamevayesh is asuma. So the Mishnah, when it comes to the blind man, it says, Hamavayish is a suma chayav. It says, regarding the embarrassment caused to a blind man, chayav, and there's no distinction made whether the blind man is the victim or he is the offender. Does the Mishnah make such distinctions? Yes, in the case of a sleeping person. One who embarrasses a sleeping person is chayav, but a sleeping person who caused embarrassment, that in his sleep he made some type of physical action that caused embarrassment to someone else, but the offender was sleeping, he's exempt. So our Mishnah makes a distinction, but that's only with regard to the sleeping person. V'lo katoni suma shebiyesh poter. It doesn't say that the suma, the blind man that causes embarrassment, is exempt, whereas that is what Rabbi Yehuda said. That's what we inferred from Rabbi Yehuda. Michlal, delo shna hachi, velo shna hachi. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, regarding the Suma, no distinctions are made. So, with regard to the Suma, whether he causes embarrassment, Suma the blind man, or he is the victim of embarrassment, there is always going to be a chiyuv, an obligation. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he'll say that if you cause embarrassment to the blind man, you have to compensate. But the blind man that causes embarrassment, regarding that, Rabbi Yehuda said, Sumein lo boshes. You cannot charge him for embarrassment that he caused. He is Suma Shebiyesh Potter. So that our Mishnah cannot be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Elo machvarta masnisen Rabbi Shimon. Rather, it seems most likely then that our Mishnah would be in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Man tana. Now here you'll note we have a long question. It's another section of Gemara where we're trying to figure out the author of. But here we're trying to figure out the author of a brisa in which there is no name. Man tana laha detanu rabbanan. Who would be the author of the following? Niskaven, if there is intent, Levai Yeshes HaKotan, Ubi Yeshes HaGodol, to embarrass the Kotan. Now here, we mentioned earlier the word Kotan and Godol needs clarification, so here we're not going to commit ourselves to anything yet. All we're saying is that one who has intent to embarrass the Kotan, Kotan means small, and he ends up embarrassing the big. Noisein lagodol demei boishosu shokotan. He will pay the godol, the big one, the value of the embarrassment of the small one. Levayish es oeved ubiyesh es ben chorin. One had intention to embarrass a slave, and it ended up embarrassing a free man, a full-fledged Jew. Noisein leben chorin demei boishosu shokotan. He will pay the free man who was embarrassed. He wasn't the intent, he wasn't the subject of your intent, but he was the victim, he became victim. So you pay him the amount of or value of embarrassment that would have been paid to the slave. Money, who is the author of this source? And here we have no candidates. Rather, we rule out lo Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbi Yehuda, velo Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't conform to any of them. And why not? So we'll have to see in the continuation of the Gemara why each one is ruled out. We first establish a premise. Ka salka daitoch, the assumption we're making right now. Bear in mind we're in the middle of a long question. The assumption we're making right now is that Koton is Koton bin Achosim, a man of little financial means. Hence the word katan, small in property. Godol ben achasim. And the word godol means someone who is opulent. He has a lot of property. The diamonds that you see here are attempts to explain who is the author. E, Rabbi Meir, if you were to think it's Rabbi Meir, Omar, kulhu bahadi hadodi ninu. Whether the poor or the rich, as we saw in the source above, they're all viewed as one. There's a uniform rate in evaluating embarrassment. He doesn't take into consideration different levels. E Rebbe, and therefore our unnamed Brisa cannot be in accordance with Rebbe Meir, where you saw the attention paid to different levels. The E Rebbe Yehuda Ha'omar Ein Lavodim Boishes. If you were to think that this unnamed source were in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, but Rebbe Yehuda says that slaves don't have boshes. There's no payment for boshes with regard to slaves. And here we see that they do have boshes. The E, Rebbe Shimon, if you were to think this source is authored by Rebbe Shimon, Ha'omar, but Rebbe Shimon says he has a rule in establishing legal outcomes that does not conform to what this source indicates. What is Rebbe Shimon's rule? He says his rule is niskavin levayish ezeh ubiyish ezeh poter. If one had intent, let us say, to embarrass Mr. A, and in fact, in the result was that Mr. B was embarrassed, there is exemption. Not so according to the Tanaic source. There we saw he had intention to embarrass the small one, the poor man, and ended up embarrassing the rich man. And that's the Tanaic source said that one has to pay. Not so according to Rabbi Shimon. My taima, where does Rabbi Shimon learn that from? Where does he know that from? That intent is the critical factor. I should say intent was fulfilled by the results. Kikatla, Rabbi Shimon treats the laws of embarrassment like he treats the laws of murder. In order to indict someone on the grounds of having committed murder, ma katla ad miskavein lei, deftiv orav lo v'komolov ad shiskavein lo. Just like in the case of murder, a person is not guilty of court execution for having committed a murder until the victim is the one who the murderer intended to kill. That's learned from the pasuk v'orav lo v'komolov, from which we learn ad sheyiskaven lo, until you had intent to kill that person that was killed. Boshes nami ad mechaven le dichtiv. Boshes is learned from or in a similar fashion to the way he deals with murder, as the pasuk says, v'sholcha yada v'chzika b'mevushav. The pasuk deals with a woman who tried to intervene on behalf of her husband, who was being was part of a fight, and it says that she then grabbed his private parts, mevushav, as a reference to the attackers or the fight, the other fellow's private parts. And in the pasuk, you see, it's specific. It says mevushav. The end of the word mevushav is in the possessive form, his private parts. And from this, Rabbi Shimon derives ad sheyiskaven lo, until there is intent to cause the embarrassment. The grabbing of the private parts in the pasuk is a form of embarrassment. It's the source of the laws of embarrassment, from which we learn until the victim is the one that the causer had intention for, had intended to embarrass. So at this point, we have a Tanaic source that doesn't seem to conform to any of the opinions that deal with the laws of embarrassment. The Gemara responds, the Olam Rabbi Yehuda, the unnamed source, could agree with Rabbi Yehuda. V'chikom Rabbi Yehuda ein lavon boishes. Rabbi Yehuda's statement that slaves are not in the realm of boishes, they're not in the realm of embarrassment, that's lemesva lehu. That's in terms of paying them in an actual payment. But when it comes to making evaluations in how much is to be paid, we will use them as a basis for evaluation. So there's a difference between actually paying a slave and how much the slave would accept to be embarrassed in the fashion that the offender did. Rashi says toward the end, four lines from the end, Shaiminon Behu, Bekamo Yisratze Eved Ze, V'yasu Loi Boishes Ze. How much would this particular slave agree to have this embarrassment? V'yosu Shumo Yitein Leben Chorin Ze. So that in the source, we had a scenario where a person intended to embarrass a particular slave. The result, however, was a free man was embarrassed. We will ask that slave, how much would you have accepted to be victim to that kind of embarrassment? And that amount will be paid to the man who was actually embarrassed. The e-boy is same, afilu temo, Rabbi Meir. We can actually establish the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. Mi savris gadol, gadol b'nechasim, katan, katan b'nechasim. Who says that the words gadol and katan in the source were reference to income levels or wealth levels? Lo, gadol, gadol, mamish, v'katan, katan, mamish. The term katan and gadol are references to an actual adult. Gadol, mamish, an adult. Katan is a minor. So, in the source, we saw someone who had intention to embarrass a katan and embarrassed a gadol. You pay the gadol the amount that you would have paid to the katan. But as far as which gadol is concerned, well, all gadolim are viewed as Rabbi Meir views everyone together. Namely, all people are viewed as b'nei chorin shiordu minichseyam. And how much will you pay him if the intention was to embarrass a cotton? If the intention was to embarrass a cotton, how much would you have paid for the embarrassment of the cotton? That's what you will pay to the gadol, regardless of his income level. So our Mishnah could conform to Rabbi Meir. The Gemara asks, V'cotton bar boshes who? Is a cotton someone subject to boshes payments? The Gemara says, in Kita Omar of Papa, as Rav Papa explains, De Michlamu Le Umichlam, Rav Papa says that later in the Gemara, So we apply Rav Papa's teaching, Hacha Nami, so too over here. We didn't explain the words yet, but we continue at the top of Amud Beis, the Michlamu Le Umichlam. We ask, does a minor have any connection to embarrassment? So as far as explaining this phrase, Michlamu Le Umichlam, the first of all, the shurish, the root of the word of this is kolam, klima. Klima is embarrassment. The Ravid, and I think the Rambam as well, with regard to embarrassing a minor, if we embarrass him and he appears embarrassed, so you have to pay. Otherwise, no. The Rashi says on the top line of Amud Beis, the Michlumei Michlam Kishimaz Kirin Lo Boshes Umachlim Reiso Ba Mitztayer. My impression is that Rashi is explaining based on the cotton being reminded later on. Now, I'm not sure if the later on means once he reaches adulthood, or simply later on, later than the actual act of embarrassment, where a katan is a child. A child, you would assume, isn't subject to embarrassment. What does he even know? What kind of social maturity does he have that he should feel a sense of embarrassment? So Rashi explains that if you did an act of embarrassment to a child and then reminded him later on of what he experienced, and he has a sense of embarrassment, so then yes, you have to pay for that. So as far as the Tanaic source that we saw on Amud Aleph, who is the author of that? So we said it could be, in the final analysis, it could be even according to Rebbe Meir. That was the second approach. After we said it, it would seem to be in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. So we're fortunate enough to have at least accounted for two possible authorships of that source. We continue now with the Mishnah, as you can see on the top line of Amud Beis. Hamavayish es ha'orum, hamavayish es ha'suma, one who causes embarrassment to an unclothed individual, or to a blind individual. Hamavayish es ha'yoshen chayav, or one who embarrasses someone sleeping. One has to pay. V'yoshen shebiyesh poter, person who in his sleep caused embarrassment, is exempt. Nofal min hagag v'hiziku b'yesh, someone fell off a roof, caused damage, and also embarrassment. Chayav al ha-nezek u'poter al ha-boishes, he has to compensate for the damage caused, but he is exempt from having to pay for the boishes. And the Bach adds a few words. He says, Shenemar v'shoch li'yodo v'hiziku v'mavushav, the pasuk says v'sholches yoda. That we described that pasuk a little earlier, where the woman intentionally did an act to that would cause embarrassment. Here, there was no intention to cause embarrassment. The person simply fell off the roof. Therefore, there is exemption. So there's a chayav. There's no chiyuv on boishes ad, and we go back to our text in the Mishnah, ad shihei miskavein, until there is intent. Falling, the damage caused by falling off the roof was damage that was without intent. So with regard to payment for actual damage, for depreciation, the issue of intent is irrelevant. But when it comes to damage in the form of embarrassment, intent is a necessary factor. Tonu Rabbanan, Baisho Oroim Chayov. One who embarrassed someone while in a state of nudity, there is an obligation to compensate. But you can't compare someone who was embarrassed while unclothed to the embarrassment of a clothed individual. Obviously, a person who is clothed is going to be experiencing greater embarrassment than someone who's already unclothed. Baisha beveis hamerchatz, chayav. Ve'eino deimet baisha beveis hamerchatz. Beis hamerchatz is a bathhouse where people are unclothed. So one who causes embarrassment to someone in a bathhouse is chayav. However, you can't compare that level of embarrassment, ve'eino deimet baisha beveis hamerchatz le'baisha b'shuk, to you can't compare that type of embarrassment to someone that was embarrassed in a public market. Omar Mar. Now we go over these points. So we have numbered the points in the source. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll see corresponding numbers 1 and a few lines later 2, where we explain the points. So in the source it said Baisho Oroim Chayav. We ask Oro Bar Boshesu, someone who already has unclothed himself. He's not someone that's he's already exposed himself to, we'll say, maximum embarrassment. How can he be more embarrassed than he is already, after we'll call self-imposed embarrassment? Omar Papa, my Oroim. What's the Oroim we're referring to here? The also Zika Karchinu Lemone. A wind started to blow, and in the gust of wind, so the man, the person's clothing were blown upwards. So there was body exposure that this person was experiencing because of natural forces. V'yosahu, and now the offender came along, dalinu tfeu b'ishen, he raised the victim's clothing a little more, causing him embarrassment. But as we said, you have to take into consideration that when our offender came into the picture, the victim already was in a state of embarrassment. But being that it wasn't self-imposed nudity, there remains an element of embarrassment that one will still have to compensate for. Baisho beis hamerchatz chayav. We ask, beis hamerchatz bar boishes who? People standing already unclothed in a bathhouse, how are they going to be subject to being embarrassed? The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Papa, Shebaisho al gav hanor. In order to appreciate this, the commentaries that you'll find in the Shita Mekubetzes explain it a little further. But the circumstances are that he was embarrassment was caused by the river. The river is a place that some people are unclothed and others are not unclothed. So it's not exactly parallel to a standard bathhouse. And therefore, there is room to consider the victim here as being subject to embarrassment. There's a thesis at the top that we would find value in looking at. Orom bar boshesu, the Gemara had asked, is a person who's unclothed subject to embarrassment? Pirish bekuntris, in Rashi the explanation is, kevon the ein makbid la'aloch orom b'fnei b'nei adam, since the victim himself isn't concerned with his own dignity and walks unclothed amongst people, mihavi klal bar boshes, is he someone subject to embarrassment? V'koshel of Yerusha, there's room to ask a question on Rashi's explanation. Maishno de Poracha Braiso, Avel Mifracha Masnisen. Why ask the question on the Braisa when you ask is a Aram Bar Boshes? You could have asked that on the Mishnah. Avel Mifracha Masnisen, Dekotoni, Hamavayesh Aram Chayv. The Mishnah itself said embarrassing the unclothed results in culpability. Venira Lefaresh, and Tosfos answers, Damasisin lo porach, the question is not directed at the Mishnah, the Pshita de Orom Bar Boshes hu im roikig bo osotro. It's obvious that a person who is unclothed and you happen to spit in his face or slap him, that will cause him embarrassment. So the Mishnah is very clear that one who comes to embarrass a naked individual will have to pay. Avol loshon abraisa mashmalei baisho oroim. The loshon of the braisa, which is slightly different than the Mishnah. The Mishnah said hamavayish esa oron. Baisho oron is shemavayish b'mashi megaleu marimoi. You're embarrassing him specifically through exposing him. Well, but if he's already exposed, our question was, how can you be guilty of derobing him? So we explained that there was a case of the person that was exposed through the wind, partially exposing him, and you came along and exposed him further. That's why the discussion was focused on the Braisa as opposed to the Mishnah. We continue in the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Abba bar Momo, Baisha Yoshein Umeis Mahu. One embarrassed a person sleeping, and the person never arose from his sleep. He died. Mahu. What is the din? So we just heard a question, but there's room to clarify what the question was. And hence the Gemara asks, "My komi boyale, what is bothering Rabbi Abba bar Momo that prompts him to raise this question?" Structurally, we look at the side, we have a nosei slash mivne heading, a diamond appears with a double underline. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, we also have this, we have them numbered, 1 and 2 a few lines later. Shnei Hesberim, 2 explanations, Lahasbir Shelis Rabbi Abba bar Momo, to explain what he's asking about. Baisha Yoshin Umeis Mahu. My Komi Bayali, what is he asking? And we'll see a double underline highlights the phrase Hachi Komi Bayali, introducing the what the question actually is. Now the Gemara. Omar Rasvit, Hachi Komi Bayali. The following is what is the question bothering Rabbi Abba. Mishum kisufahu v'ha mislei v'les lei kisufa. The payment for embarrassing this sleeping man. Is it a payment for having caused the specific individual embarrassment? Odilma, and he didn't. He never experienced embarrassment. He died. That's what v'les lei kisufa means. He never actually experienced that, the feeling of embarrassment. So you wouldn't. You wouldn't have to pay, Odilma, or maybe the payment is Mishum Zilusa U, Va Oizle. You did an act that cheapened him. It cheapened him in the eyes of the public, if you will. Rashi says, Zilusa, Shemizalzabo Bifne Rabim, Vafalpi Sheino Somalibo. You did an act causing his cheapening in the eyes of the public. So even if he didn't feel anything, your payment is for a reprehensible act. It's almost an analysis of, do you look at the results vis-a-vis the victim, or do we look at the action done regardless of the results to the victim? Toshma, we try to answer this by the citing the following: Rabbi Meir Omer, Chereish Vekoton Yesh Lahan Boshes, the deaf mute and the minor have Boshes, Shoita Ein Lo Boshes, the imbecile has no Boshes. I amris Bishlama Mishum Zilusa. If you say that the payment is because you did an act that cheapens the individual, an act of belittling. Hainu de Kotani Koton, I understand what then that you'll have to pay for the boshes done to a koton, to a minor. Eliamris Mishum Kisufa, but if you'll say the payment is for the embarrassment that the victim experienced, Koton Bar Boshesu is a minor, a child. Does he experience embarrassment? So, at this second, it seems more appropriate to say that the payment is for Zilusa. And if that's the case, so then the boshes done to a sleeping person would result in payment. The Gemara, though, rejects this. Elamai, Mishum Ziglusa, then Afilu Shaitanami. If the payment is for doing an act of cheapening the individual, then payment should be made even in the case of the imbecile. Since it's not, it doesn't seem to be that Zilusa is the reason for payment. The Gemara says that is not a question. Amri, we respond, Shoita ein l'choboishes g'dayla mizu. Once a person is an imbecile, that's the ultimate boshes. You can't do an act of cheapening to cheapen the shoita any more than he's already been cheapened in the eyes of the public. Mikol mokoim nifshot mina demishum zilusahil. Let us at least then conclude that the payment is in fact because of zilusa, the act, the emphasis on the act of cheapening. Dei mishum kisufa, because if it were a payment as a result of the a payment for the result of feeling embarrassed, katan bar kisufahu, a payment wouldn't be made to a katan. A katan is not someone we would assume has any connection to the feeling of embarrassment. The Gemara rejects that. Kida omar rav papa. No, in fact, the katan has a connection to kisufa. Kidomar as Rav Papa says later on, de michlamu le umichlam, hachanami de michlamu le umichlam. Citing Rashi from the top, it's a situation where if you remind him later on of what you did to him and he feels embarrassed, that shows you that the katan is bar kisufa, is someone that has a connection to the feeling of having been embarrassed. Rav Papa Omar, hachi kome bayale. We didn't explain up till now the use of the crown shape, but on the side of the Gemara, simun, we have written simun lahavlid hadimyon b'shnei agishos. We're using this to show a similarity in approaches we had under Rav Zvin, and now we'll see under Rav Papa. The crown with the tips facing up, nisoyon lahasik maskon, an attempt to reach a conclusion, and then the inverted triangle, the inverted crown, defio, a rejection of that attempt. So we now go ahead with Rav Papa's explanation of what Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel's question was. I hope everyone sees the structure. This is a diamond number 2. The diamond number 1 we had for around Rav Zvid, who is coming on the heels of Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel's question. So Rav Papa explains, Hachi komi ba'ale. The following is what Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel was asking. Aleph, and then the next line, Oy Dilma, you see under squiggle underline, O Dilma, or possibly Beis. Mishum kisufa didei hu v'ha mayisle. Is the payment made for his own embarrassment? Well, in the case of the person that was embarrassed while asleep and then died in his sleep, so he died, so that there would be no payment. O Dilma mishum boishes mishpacha. Or is it a payment because of the embarrassment experienced by the family? Toshma cheresh v'katan yesh lo boishes sheita ein lo boishes. We're citing the same source that we cited above. For some reason, Rabbi Meir Omer is left out, but it's the same distinction. The distinction being that cheresh and shoten, cheresh, deaf, mute, and minor katan have boshes, and shoita does not. E amers b'shem mishum boshes mishpacha. If you say the focus is on the embarrassment experienced by the family, hainu de katani katan. Then we can understand how there would be payment in the case of embarrassing a katan, even though a child doesn't experience embarrassment, but when you embarrass the child, it causes embarrassment to the family. So there's payment that has to be made. Eliyamis mishum kisufa didei. If, however, the payment of boishes is a payment for the victim's own experience of shame, katan bar boishes hu, is a minor subject to that. Elamai. So what then do you have to say? Mishum boishes de b'nei mishpacha. It's embarrassment experienced by the family. Well, then if that's the case, afilu sheita nami, well, then even in the case of the shota who was subjected to embarrassment, his family experiences embarrassment for what the offender did. So why does the source say that the sheita ain lo boishes? The Gemara says, sheita ain lo boishes gedola mizu. When you're dealing with an imbecile, the family has reached their maximum level of embarrassment already. So that whatever you do to the to the shaita, it's not going to cause any increase in embarrassment to his family. So that we can stick with the pshat of boishes mishpacha, with which we understand the minor, and then we can also go back to Rabbi Abba Bar Momo's question concerning embarrassing the sleeping person, that you would have to pay. Mikol mokom, well, then nevertheless, nifshot minod mishum boishes mishpacha. Let us conclude that the payment is for the embarrassment that the family experiences. Di mishum kisufa, if the payment were in terms of the victim's experience of embarrassment, koton bar kisufa, as a child subject to the feeling of shame, omar of papa in, you actually could say that the payment is kisufa for the individual's, for the victim's feeling of shame, and as far as the cotton is concerned, here you see, this is Rapopa, by the way, who's been cited till now. This is Rapopa at the source. Omar Rapopa in, yes, the cotton has a connection to the feeling of shame. Demich lemule umichlam. Using, again, Rashi's pshat, if you remind him later on about what was done to him and he feels a sense of embarrassment, that shows you that the cotton has a connection to embarrassment. For Tanya, a source that supports this, we're going to read it today's source, and the words that follow the today's source are in fact Rav Popa's explanation, which serves to we'll say show how the today's source is a support to Rav Popa. It says Rebbe Omer Cheresh Yesh lo boishes, shaitein lo boishes. The deaf mute has boishes. The imbecile, no. Katan pomim yesh lo pomim ein lo. The minor, sometimes yes, sometimes no. In other words, with regard to the minor, it depends. Ha de michlam uleo michlam. In the event that you remind him of what you had done to him and he feels a sense of embarrassment, then we would say that's a koton, then he has boshes. Ha de michl mei v'lo michlam. However, if you remind him of what was done and he doesn't have any sense of shame or embarrassment, that would be a case where the koton has no boshes. There would be no payment. The Gemara at this point quotes from the Mishnah, Mavayishes Asuma. The Mishnah went on to say that would be chayev, and the Mishnah also said one who is mevayish, someone sleeping, is chayev, and it said that the yoshein should be esh potter, and we want to focus on that. The truth is that the next line or two of Gemara essentially is a repeat of what we said on Omid Aleph. Why the Gemara does this, I'm not sure. It's an interesting thing to go over when the Gemara on Omid Aleph already concluded that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says that again here. Masnisen delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah, which when it comes to Mevayesh es Hasuma, no distinction was made. Only with regard to the Yoshein, the sleeping person, was a distinction made. So that our Mishnah, with regard to its position on Suma, whether you embarrass a blind person or a blind person embarrasses you, payment will have to be made. That lack of distinction with regard to Suma shows us that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma ain lo boshes. And we explain that Suma ain lo boshes means that a sumo that causes embarrassment is exempt. But what did we say a moment ago about our Mishnah? A sumo is always going to be included in a boshes payment. The sumo who is mevayesh, who causes embarrassment, has to pay. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. You'll notice that there are some markings, some structural notes that we have to take care of. I wanted just to read the Gemara to get to the, we'll say, the main opening point, and that was to just reaffirm that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and that is seen clearly from our Mishnah's approach to Suma, which is only appreciated by seeing the Mishnah's approach to the sleeping individual. With regard to the sleeping individual, a distinction was made. With regard to the blind person, no distinction made. Whether it's Mephayesh as a Suma, you cause embarrassment to the blind man, pay him. Or if blind man causes embarrassment, blind man has to pay. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Suma ain't no boshes. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda has an element of exemption from boshes with regard to a Suma, and we clarified that that's with regard to a Suma that causes embarrassment. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is exemption. The house shape that you see is featured on the side, under our structural note. The house shape introduces Sitrishal Brises, a series of Tanaic sources, Sheha Meshutif, the common theme regarding these Tanaic sources is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma Ein Lo Boshes. So allow your eye to scan the rest of this Omid of Gemara and the beginning, the upper part of Pei Zayin Omid Aleph. And do you notice where the house markings are? And do you notice that immediately following them, you have a Tanaic source which reads Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma Ein Lo Boshes? Well, I hope that your scan has been completed successfully. So you notice that even on Pei Zayin Omid Aleph, we see a continuation. Another marking. Do you see the triangles? The triangles are found within a bracketed section of Gemara. So before we explain the triangles, why do we have brackets from here in the middle of this Tanaic source till the bottom line in the middle? Why? So on the side of the Gemara we have a note, which reads Tam the Sograyim, the reason for the brackets. Laharois, to show the ad kan mistaim hatam letzitut brisa zu kan bagamora. That up till the brackets, that which we read already, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma Emo Boishes, that was the reason that this Tanaic source is cited. Vahain dahainu laharois, the Mishnah senu lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, to show that our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah said, Hamavayesh is a Suma is Chayav, and that means that, translated, embarrassing a Suma is Chayav, and truth be told, even if the Suma causes embarrassment, he'll have to pay as well. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda. But Tocha Sograyim, Muvo Siuma Braisa, within the brackets, you'll see the continuation of the Tanaic source, Ubay Hemshech, HaGemara, and in the continuation of the Gemara, Muvo Hamakuros, the Choladinim, Shemofim Babraisa, sources for all the points quoted in the Braisa. So it's true that the first point quoted in the Braisa we have as number one was before the brackets, but the structural significance of having the brackets placed where they are, I think, overrides that consideration, and we demonstrated that just up till the brackets is why this Braisa was cited. That this, all of the rest of this discussion deals with finding sources for the halachas in the source. So first, of course, we have to complete the source and then go over each one of the halachas and why Rabbi Yehuda holds what he does. And that's on the our margin where we have our nosei mivne heading where we feature the triangle. We've written Mekuris Lishitas Rebuta Depota Suma, the sources for Rebuta's opinion that exempts a blind man mi boishes, chiv golus malchus and mises basin. Rebuta exempts the blind man from boishes, and we explain his opinion is that a blind man that causes embarrassment does not have to compensate. The second point has to do with a murder committed unintentionally. That's called chiv golus, literally the obligation to be exiled to a city of refuge. Without getting into details concerning that topic, simply said, it has to do with the procedures that apply to a murder committed unintentionally. Malchus has to do with the laws of lashing. In this case, a suma who violated a mitzvah in the Torah that results in the punishment of flagellation, he is not lashed. And number four, misos bezdin. This might be the biggest surprise of all. A blind man who violates a law which would result in court execution, the blind man is exempt from that. Where does Reb Yudah get all of that from? So now the Gemara. We read the beginning of the Braisa, which we'll read again. Reb Yudah Omer, Suma in lo boishes, V'kach oy Reb Yudah poter michai ve'golius. Reb Yudah exempts the blind man from the requirement of exile to a city of refuge in the event of a murder committed unintentionally. Michai ve'malchius, he's exempted from receiving the court-appointed lashing, and that's, I didn't mention before, but that's for the violation of negative commands in the Torah. Negative commands that, according to most Tanoim, that are violated through an action. And for Mechaive Mises Bezdin, those kind of wrongful acts, sinful acts that result in court execution. My Taimo de Rebbe Huda. This is number one, and the numbering corresponds to the numbering in the source. What is the basis for Rebbe Huda that said, Sumo Ein Lo Boishes? Gomar Aynecha Aynecha Me'aydim Zoymimim. It's a Gezerah Shava. We compare Psukim. One Pasuk is in the realm of false witnesses, and Rashi quotes the Psukim. So if you want to glance at Rashi, you can see the Pasuk relevant to Eidim Zomimim in the middle of the Rashi commentary is Lo Sochais Einecha Olav. And in the case of Boishes, the Pasuk says, V'katzei says, Kapo Lo Sochais Einecha. So you have the word Einecha in both topics. Mahosam Sumin Lo. Just like with regard to the topic of Eidim Zomim, false witnesses, a Sumo is excluded. A blind man cannot serve as a witness, so he's excluded from the topic of false witnesses. In order to be classified as a false witness, you have to be someone who is eligible to testify and lied. A suma isn't eligible to testify in the first place. Afhocha sumin lo, so too over here with regard to the laws of embarrassment, the suma is exempt. So if a suma causes embarrassment, Reb Yudah says he does not pay. Me chayve golius, the suma is exempt from the laws of exile to a city of refuge, desanya. The pasuk says regarding the unintentional murder, it says beloy ra'os. That expression implies that he didn't see. He who didn't see over here and a murder resulted, he goes to a city of refuge. But the implication is, here he doesn't see, but elsewhere he could see. So the Torah is describing whom? Prat l'suma, to the exclusion of a suma. The Torah is describing a sighted individual who, over here at the site of the unintentional murder, he didn't see. And that's how the murder happened. He didn't see that the victim was in the vicinity. But elsewhere, he could see. So you see, the Torah is not addressing a blind man. And as such, that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that the topic of the Torah dealing with the exile to a city of refuge does not include dictating thusly in the case of a blind man who commits the unintentional murder. Rabbi Meir disagrees. He says, L'rabo, he says, Hasuma. The Pasuk actually ends up including the Suma. My time, now here, till we get to the next triangle, we deal with this particular machlokes, this particular disagreement. My time de Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Omar Loch, the Pasuk says, Vashir Yavoi Esrael Bayar Lachtoiv Eitzim. He who goes into a forest to chop wood, the Torah describes that in the course of chopping wood, something flew off, and then either the axe head or a piece of wood flew off and killed someone. That's an unintentional murder. Who is the offender? Well, anyone. Vafilu Suma, even a blind man. All the pasuk says, and he who comes into a forest to chop. A blind man also can come into a forest to chop wood. Kosav Rachmona below Ros, Limuti. Pasuk adds, below Ros. That is exclusionary. As we said before, the person described in the Pasuk as someone didn't see the victim here, but elsewhere he could have seen. That excludes a blind man. Rabbi Meir, Kosav Rachmona below Ros, Limuti. Rabbi Meir concedes that the expression below Ra'os is here to be exclusionary. The Kosav Rachmona, there's another phrase that the Torah uses, Bevli Das, without awareness. That phrase, Limuti, is also exclusionary. So now I have a verse that has two exclusionary expressions. Have a miut achamiut. That means one exclusionary following another. And the rule is, when you have two exclusionary expressions, one following the other, the result is the opposite. It's actually coming to include. And as a result, Rabbi Meir includes the Suma for Golus. Rabbi Yehuda, what's his response? Hahu Bivli Das, the Pasuk use of the expression Bivli Das, Prat Lemiskavin Hudasa, comes to exclude someone who committed a murder with intent. Bevli das means without awareness or without intent. So only someone like that is obligated to the city of refuge, to the exclusion of someone that did so with intent. Chayvei misois bezdin, a blind man, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is exempt from court execution. Asyo roitzeach roitzeach mechayve golius. A gezera shava, using the word roitzeach from the case of exile to city of refuge. Rabbi Yehuda exempted the blind man from golus through the gezera shava. He is exempted from being subjected to court execution. Chayve malchius, asyo rosha rosha mechayve misais bezdin. As far as the laws of Malkus are concerned, he is exempted through a gezerah shav, a word comparison from the topic of court execution from which he was exempted. Tanya idoch, another Tanaic source, Rabbi Omer, Suma ein lo boshes. We continue at the top of Daf Pei Zayin. V'chein hoya Rabbi Yehuda potro mikol dinim shebetorah. Likewise, Rabbi Yehuda exempted the blind man from all dinim. The word dinim is going to be presented in this Gemara alongside another word that you'll see in the next Tanaic source, the same opening. And in the next Tanaic source, it says Rabbi Yehuda also exempted him. He called mitzvos amlis b'Torah. Mitzvos, we can translate loosely as from all commandments in the Torah. The commandment to perform mitzvahs. Dinim, if we translate that as laws, so I think we're going to be losing something in the translation. But the word dinim has to do with all matters that come under, we'll say, judicial supervision. Money matters, tort law, etc. So the opening, the top line has Reb Yehuda exempting him from all dinim shebe Torah. My time under Reb Yehuda. Where does Reb Yehuda come to this conclusion? Omar Kro, the pasuk says v'shoftu ha'eda bein hamake uvein goyel hadam al hamishpatim ho'ele. The Eidah, the court, will judge concerning Maket. Maket is a person that commits a murder. Goyel Hadam is a avenger of blood. Al HaMishpatim Eila, concerning all of these legal matters. We say as follows, Kol Shieshno B'Maket U'V'Goyel Hadam. Anyone who is included under the or subject to the laws governing a makeh, murder, and goyel hadam, yeshno b'mishpatim, is included in what else the pasuk referred to, namely mishpatim, all kinds of judicial procedure. Kol she'eino b'makeh v'goyel hadam. He was not included in those laws. The case of the example of a blind man, well, he's not included. What makeh we explain as murder. Murder is an offense that leads to misas beisdin. Rashi at the top line says, "Kol sheino b'makeh v'suma." As far as the blind man, ha'afikdei midin misas beisdin. We already excluded him from the laws of court execution. So the blind man is not in the realm of the makeh being the murderer. Murderer, by the way, can refer to not only intentional murder, but also unintentional murder. Why do I add that? Because in the realm of unintentional murder, there nevertheless is a goyel hadam. The Torah provides for an avenger of blood. The closest relative to the victim has a right to kill the murderer of his relative if that murderer, unintentional murderer, is not in the city of refuge. We've already excluded, though, the blind man from those topics. Therefore, eino b'mishpatim, he's not included with regard to all the other dinim of the Torah. And then you would have to evaluate. Let us say he he caused property damage. His animal that he owned caused damage to someone else, the topic that we've dealt with so often in this Masechta. It seems from here that the blind man is exempted from all of those laws, which would come under the heading of Mishpatim. Number three, Tanya Idoch, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sumei Lo Boishes, V'cheino Rabbi Yehuda Poitra, Mikol Mitzvah Samuas B'Torah. Rabbi Yehuda also exempts him from all mitzvahs, all commandments of the Torah. Omar Rav Shisha Brei Drav Idi. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda come off exempting the blind man from all the mitzvahs of the Torah? The result of that would be that a blind man doesn't have to don tefillin. He doesn't have to have tzitzis on his four-cornered garment, and etc. and so forth. He's simply excluded. Omar Kro, the pasuk says, V'eila hamitzvos hachukim hamishpatim. You have a pasuk that includes all kinds of precepts together. Kol sheyeshno b'mishpatim, he was included under the heading of mishpatim. Yeshno b'mitzvos v'chukim is included in the various types of mitzvos and rulings. V'chol she'eino b'mishpatim, he was not included in mishpatim, eino b'mitzvos v'chukim. And we already pointed out that the suma is not included in mishpatim. That was the subject of the top part of this omid. So he's not included in mitzvahs and chukim either. You'll notice we have a long point. This long point goes till the Mishnah. It focuses on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, one of our great Amoroyim, happened to be a blind individual. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A trapezoid or volcano shape appears. Shlovim, these are stages, B'Hisyachsus Shel Rav Yosef. With regard to Rav Yosef's approach, Shaya Suma, he was blind. L'shitas Rav Yehuda, his approach to the Tana, Rav Yehuda Shamar Suma, Potem Min HaMitzvahs, that the Suma, in this case, himself, Rav Yosef himself, is exempt from mitzvahs. The bow tie highlights the word avidna. Havlotas avidna yom tova. He says, I would make a holiday. I would make a toast, so to speak. I would have a holiday. Well, let's see. What's the holiday that Rav Yosef is going to make? Omar Rav Yosef, meresh, at first. This is the first stage. At first, Hava Amina, I thought, Ma'ad Omar, he would rule halachic Rav Yehuda. We rule like Rav Yehuda, the Omar Suma, Poter Min HaMitzvahs, that a Suma is exempt from mitzvahs, Kavdino, Yomotov LaRabbanan. I would make a holiday for the rabbis. My time off. Why? Why would that be the basis of making a holiday? Delo Mifakdino, V'Kavdino, mitzvahs. I'm not commanded, and yet I do the mitzvahs anyway. So at the ruling, like Rav Yehuda, enables me to celebrate this point. I'm not commanded, and yet I do the mitzvahs. I deserve a pat on the back. I would make a holiday over that. V'hashto d'shamis lo d'Rabbi Chanino. However, second stage. Now that I've heard Rabbi Chanino's teaching, Dilma Rabbi Chanino, greater is the one who is commanded and fulfills mitzvahs out of obligation, more so than one who is not commanded and voluntarily fulfills mitzvahs. Now that I've heard Rabbi Chanino's point, man domar li ein halacha Rabbi Yehuda avdina yomatova l'rabbanan. He would tell me that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Suma is commanded in mitzvahs. I would make a celebration for the rabbis. My time of why? Dechi mafgedino isli agrot fei. Because as being commanded to do the mitzvahs, I have greater reward. And in order to be considered commanded as a blind person in doing the mitzvahs, we would have to rule the halacha not like Rabbi Yehuda. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.